This podcast contains explicit language.
And spoilers, only if you suck.
This is Dave.
Carlos here, and there's no getting off of this train we're on. We will soon hit the center of the planet and restore hope to the life stream by jizzing into it liberally. Just jizz right into the life stream, restoring the planet to its former glory with jizz. Today on Two Fat Guys Talk Games, we jizz into the life stream.
So I guess that makes this, what, map Alpha Sigma Mission 4?
So we're in episode 46 of Two Fat Guys Talk Games, jizzing all over
Season
the life
2.
Stream, as Dave jizzes all over numbers. And Christ, you and your alternative schemas applied to our SQL database of perfect numbering. We have a foolproof numbering system already. It involves taking a number and adding one to it every time we record a new podcast.
But it's boring!
It's pretty boring, I'll give you that. But do you want to take the route of, like, named streets where we name every episode, like, some shitty street name, and then you can never find where you need to go? Unlike Glorious Edmonton's numbered street name system? Words? English?
This episode is 14 Pi.
14 Pi. If you really want to know, we're on your precious Season 2, Episode 6, I think. Because I think Season 1, according to you, ended on Episode 40.
Yes!
Of course, in Realityville, there was no season, and we continued on, ignoring your wishes. And the wishes of the one person who agreed with you.
Which means that my numbering scheme has one more fan than yours, so...
Thank you. I'm aware of how to count. Unfortunately, in Realityville, that's not what determines the name of the episode. I name it, and it'll have something to do with jizz.
So, the Amazon Fire.
Speaking of jizz, so Amazon jizzed out a console.
You know, it's funny ever since the Ouya came out or was announced that everybody and their mother seems to want to release their own little wireless or console-like device that not only can do streaming from Netflix and every other video provider underneath the sun, but also has some form of gaming.
Well, to be fair, why not throw games onto these devices? If they have the processing power to handle it, and there's an optional controller, or you can just plug yours in, because I hear the Amazon controller is really shitty, though I haven't got my hands on it or anything. If the device can handle it, why the fuck not throw games on there?
It's just funny how Amazon, seemingly overnight, brought out the Amazon Fire, has its own gaming studio now. Which, when I watched the trailer for a bunch of their video games, a couple of them don't seem bad, but well, they're definitely last-gen quality at best.
They also bought out a bunch of developers. Similar to how Facebook bought the Oculus, because reasons, Amazon bought a bunch of game developers for actual reasons, and those reasons are to make games for the new Fire.
I mean, they really only have shitty developers working for them. Didn't they buy out the Primal Rage guys?
With the Primal Rage guys?
Or not Primal Rage, that shitty fighter you like on Xbox One.
I'm afraid I don't understand the game you're talking about. What game is this, Dave?
The name escapes me right now.
It does escape you. What about the developer?
Double Helix?
It's Double Helix. And they are not a shitty developer. They have made two good games.
Which we may disagree on. I think one.
Actually, I think over time, my like of Killer Instinct is dropping. Because the more I see of it, the more I realize, why are there combo breakers everywhere? There should be some things that can't be broken. And I'd rather play any other fighting game. But man, it's so pretty. And they added full gore. And they have a story mode, kind of, and
yeah,
it's totally free, sort of.
Except it totally isn't.
It's totally free if you want to play one character that you don't get to choose.
Yeah.
So Amazon Fire, though, what would make you buy one?
Nothing.
Nothing? Nothing. So let's say, okay, riddle me this. Okay. Let's say, sake of argument, the Amazon Fire is able to take keyboard and mouse plugged in so that you can play keyboard and mouse games. And the next Duke Nukem not only looked amazing, but was being developed as an Amazon Fire exclusive.
Maybe, but here's the thing.
Half-Life 3, Amazon Fire
you
exclusive.
You motherfucker.
Even though that would be not coming out on Steam for some reason. Dave, are you alive? Did you suddenly die on me? Did I kill you with my insinuation?
Well, you definitely got the hook to get me to buy it. No, I mean, as it is right now, the Amazon Fire, reviews are coming in that it does streaming fine, but it's sluggish and rushed. Mm-hmm. So I think like a lot of the stuff that Amazon has bought into, it'll be like a revision 2 or revision 3 before you get something good out of it.
I think the important question is, can it read books?
I don't think so.
Well, how ironic.
Much like the Kindle version 1.
Yeah, the Kindle version 1 also doesn't read books. Like, it meant to read books. Read books, but it don't do good.
Well, speaking of Kindle and ebooks, though, since we're on the topic, did you know that you don't have an ebook reader, do you?
I use my phone.
Do you know anybody who has an ebook reader?
Like a dedicated ebook reader?
Yeah, like a Kindle or a... Or any of the multitude of, like...
One of those Indigo book readers.
There you go.
I've seen people when I took public transit for my last shitty job, I've saw people on the train with them. My current job, which is not shitty, does not require public transit. And thus I have seen no dedicated ebook readers.
So neither you nor your family have one?
No. However, I've used them. They're fine. My phone is perfectly fine, too, though. I read my books on a Galaxy S3.
So, you know how it's Flash who, Macromedia Flash and their group who supply all the security, the DRM, for all the ebook readers?
I did not know this.
Okay, they do. And it turns out that they are changing their security methods.
Okay.
And all past as well as present ebooks are going to have to be encoded with this new DRM.
Okay.
Problem is, old ebook readers are not going to be able to be updated to read this DRM.
So you're telling me our books in book format are still the way to go?
Yes. They are basically screwing anybody who has a current ebook reader.
Okay.
They can't get a firmware update.
Okay.
Go Flash.
Yeah. Adobe. Sucking since whatever year they were invented. Or founded, I should say.
Yeah. They really are a piece of shit. Speaking of pieces of shit.
Your podcast sponsor is Adobe. Adobe! We make PDFs.
Poorly.
Yeah. But it never ceases to amaze me how shitty Adobe is at making their own file format.
Yeah. Speaking of assholes, though, companies buying the Humble Bundle key packs and then reselling them.
Well, we live in a capitalist society here on this continent, and in one way, this is very much within the law. But so is a whole bunch of other grimy ass activities that also fall within the realms of law. You're about to tell me in some way that it's illegal, but
no,
hang on.
No, it's not. It's actually against the terms of service that you agree to
when
you sign up to buy a Humble Pack.
Oh, okay. And in which case sue them. Sue them and sue them for millions, because fuck that. Capitalism has its benefits, absolutely, but capitalism run amok leads to shit like this. Sue them. Fuck that. I mean, I do not agree with that in the slightest.
I mean, some people would come back and say, well, it's my property. I can resell it how I want.
Well, no, it's really not. Not if you're buying it with an agreement attached.
Agreed. Different European countries have tried to force companies like Steam to allow them to resell their Steam purchases. And so far, Steam has been able to tell them to shove it. Which is weird, actually, because they won that court case in Germany, of all places. And Germany is an ultra, you own your stuff, you can sell it whenever you want. Which was really a weird result for that.
I wouldn't know. I don't follow German politics, I'm afraid.
It was video game, it was Steam. So
sure.
I read up on it.
It's against the TOS, so fuck it. Even if it wasn't against the TOS, I would still say shame these fucking companies, and gamers should go out of their way to never buy from them, because that is just grimy and wrong. These companies probably have tons of money already. Even if they don't, why don't they go into some legitimate-ass business?
Yeah, and then there was a footnote on that article when I was reading it that this one website is always informing people of where to buy the cheapest games. And the guy who runs the site was like, well, I'm not going to stop putting people onto this website, even though it breaks the TOS, because people should get the deals that they deserve.
Oh, sure, fine. But this is going to be one of the few cases where the Digital Millennium Copyright Act does something good. And there's precedent for a whole bunch of grimy cases that people invoke the DMCA with that is totally going to fuck these companies who are buying out Humble Keys and reselling them at higher prices. It's grimy when ticket scalpers do it. It's grimy when these guys do it.
Yeah. Speaking of, I guess not so much grimy. I'm kind of pissed off at it, though. Persona 4 is coming to the PS3.
Uh-huh.
But it's the PS2 classic version, not golden.
Yeah, whatever. It, in all honesty, much how I believe that the virtual console version of Mario World should have all the Game Boy Advance extras, like different sprite Luigi with different characteristics, and I firmly believe this, I hate how the Game Boy Advance is the only system you can play this enhanced version of Mario World.
Mm-hmm.
I firmly believe that if you're going to re-release a game like that, you should throw in all the bells and whistles from its latest, greatest revision. I'm also a firm believer that if the PS2 had a hard drive, it should have been patched to be that revision, although in this case the PS2 doesn't have onboard the storage ability. The ability to do this. So I'm of the belief that, no, if they're going to do that, they should actually go out of their way a little bit. They have the money to do it. They have the means to include those extras in that version. I don't even care to play Persona 4... I don't care to play it. I played through Persona 4 a bit. I didn't finish it. I saved Naoto. I realized I didn't really care to finish the game. I read spoilers. And then I played the fighters. I don't care to play Golden. But for the people who do, why the fuck should they have to be tied into buying a Vita if they don't want a Vita? It's nonsense.
I'm still kind of hoping for the Vita TV.
Yeah, why the fuck hasn't that been announced here yet? Fucking kill, Jerry. It would kill.
Yeah, I think it would. And I would buy it just simply to play Golden on my TV.
I wouldn't get Golden, but I'd probably get one for sure. I'm sure I will find games to play.
I mean, I'd even look at possibly importing and patching Sword Art Online to play on the Vita.
Oh, Sword Art Online.
We haven't put the review up for that yet.
No, not yet.
That's the next one, I'm guessing.
It's probably going to be the next one. I might put them both up together. Long story short, yeah, we both liked the first episode, and you liked the second, and I really kind of didn't. And stuff I've been reading, you've watched ahead, stuff I've been reading makes me go, Jesus Christ.
We'll talk about that later.
Sure. But what would I get on the Vita, on a PlayStation Vita TV? Probably Gravity Rush or something that I wanted to
play. Yes, Gravity Rush was fun.
But that better come out here already. But it won't, because Sony likes to fuck us that cannot release the Vita TV and then raise the prices of our PS4s by $50 and our games by $10 in Canada because, oh no, the Canadian dollar is doing a little bit weaker. When we strengthen again, it's going to take them 5 years to put the price back down. Fuck you, Sony. I'm never letting that go.
Fuck. April Fools.
April Fools. Not Sony shitty price increase, just the topic of April Fools in general.
Yes. Yes.
I like April Fools jokes.
I've become bitter towards it over the years. I tend to just not read anything on the internet. April Fool's.
Well, that's because you're a gullible bastard and you can't read shit on April 1st without realizing it's all a joke.
No, I got tired of the...
How does it work for you? You're like, oh, Blizzard Outcast. Oh, fuck you, Blizzard. No. Oh, Tiny Malthale. Oh, fuck you, Blizzard. Oh, hardly. New Conquer game. Oh, fuck you, Blizzard. Oh, Optimus Prime and Titanfall. Oh, fuck you, Blizzard.
That was funny. That's why I read the April Fool's jokes on April 2nd.
The thing is, it's become a tradition. We want to see who puts the most work into what is obviously a product that will never be made.
Google normally does a very good job. So does Blizzard.
I think we should appreciate the fact that these companies are willing to go out of their way just to entertain us a little bit for a product that will never be made. Like, instead of mocking up screens for Blizzard Outcasts or whatever the hell else Blizzard did, they could have, you know, done something to make themselves money elsewhere, but they didn't because they wanted to keep in the spirit of the tradition. And I have a lot of problems with Blizzard, but that's not one of them. I like the April Fool's jokes. I've learned to love them.
Yeah, no, Google, Blizzard, couple others are fun to read.
Sometimes they can be in bad taste, though.
Yes, they can be.
Capcom of Japan putting up that fake Mega Man X figure and taking it down the next day. Like, rub salt in the wound of people waiting for the next Mega Man, like Carlos Alexander.
Yeah. And granted, this has been done so much over the past decade that it just kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever, guys. It's Half-Life 3.
Yeah.
But that's become almost its own little cult following of the Half-Life 3 confirmed through this stupid formula that somebody comes up with.
There's an April Fool's joke of that every month of the year.
Every day.
Every day. Oh shit, is Half-Life 3 confirmed at PAX East? April Fool's!
Yeah. However, there are some really cool things that do come out of April Fool's.
Like Fukua.
Yes, Skullgirls.
Yes, the new character that Mike Z made entirely out of recycled Philly animations, who is a really fun character archetype of something you don't usually see. A character who is both grappler and zoner, but kind of both and still kind of semi-balanced, although Fukia is a little broken at the moment. And this character is very popular and is going to be kept in the game and is totally a jab at DeCapper, who is very lazy, and Capcom should have more than enough time and money to make her look different than just evil Cammy.
Yeah, and the fact they threw it together in a week's time...
I think it took them a little more than a week, but still.
Fine, 2 weeks.
Well, there's a lot of history with Fukua. There were test versions of Philia used before other characters were made, and a little bit of their gameplay made it into Fukua, right? And ultimately, it's a brand new character that the game got for free, and it's a nice little joke, too. And all of her palette swaps are all the lazy palette swap secret characters that have appeared over the years, like Gold War Machine, Red Venom, Orange Hulk, some other color of Venom.
Yeah, I know. When it popped up, it's like, okay, yeah, whatever, wait. This character's actually in the game. Of course, load up the game on Steam, and there's the character.
Yep.
And I had a blast with the character. It was neat, and the fact that it made it into the retail copy for one day was neat.
Yeah, it was pretty
neat. And they got patched out until it can be put into all the other games.
Still in the endless beta, but she's fun. She has projectiles and grapples and makes it work. Normally characters who have both those things are broken. And yeah, she apparently needs a bit of a rebalance, even though I think she's fine.
Yes, that's because you like broken fucking shit.
Just because she has an invincible grab assist doesn't mean she's broken.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was a nice little April Fool's gag turned real.
Capcom of Japan putting up that fake Mega Man X and then taking it down the next day? Not in good taste. People have been wanting Mega Man forever, and that's just more salt in the wound.
Wow.
Now, look, Mega Man fans can lick my nut, because even though I love Mega Man, I don't like how they threaten to firebomb Capcom every time they don't get their way. Our Messiah character didn't get a game made out of him. Hate you, Capcom. Buy everything you make. No, fuck them. However, still in bad taste, guys. Still rubbing salt in that wound.
Yeah, Capcom really does not know. They don't give a fuck.
I think they give a fuck. It's just that there's a culture of entitlement in their higher-ups, I think, where there are a lot of powerful people up higher-up who make lots of bad decisions, and because they have all the power, what they say goes. We've worked for companies with people like this.
That's true.
So we know that that's probably what's going on at Capcom.
It's why developers are leaving different companies to do their own shit.
And Capcom's going to clueless themselves right into bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
I mean, what are the only games they've really got going right now? Street Fighter?
Well, there's Ultra Street Fighter 4. Oh my god. There's Ultra Street Fighter 4. What else do they have?
I mean, they pretty much screwed themselves by doing a game you don't care about, but Dead Rising 3 as an Xbox One exclusive.
They did Dead Rising 3. They also have that Deep Down coming. They don't have anything, man.
I mean, all their old... classics game series they refuse to go back to.
Nope, they do. They have this weird mentality.
Breath of Fire?
If it doesn't make them immediate short-term capital, they won't invest in it.
Well, okay. Breath of Fire had that...
Mobile game.
Fuck.
Ah, ha, ha, Breath... Why am I laughing? I like Breath of Fire. I shouldn't laugh at that misfortune.
Capcom... fucking up. And for the topic of growing up, Game Jam!
Yeah, I heard about what happened. Mountain Dew tried to be super sexist, make it boys versus girls, make it all a reality show type competition when it was supposed to be a fun game development jam, and JonTron and a bunch of others kind of walked out of it, said fuck this. So way to go, Mountain Dew, for being clueless and overly corporate.
Yeah, I mean, they wanted to be able to take dialogue out of context.
We should probably mention where this happened. This happened at that festival whose title I forget. You remember it, right?
Not PAX, the Game Development Conference.
Yeah, the GDC. GDC. Yeah. So basically, there was a game jam with two teams making, like, competing to make a game each by the end, in a day or something. Mountain Dew was sponsoring it, and some Mountain Dew corporate suit guy was trying to incite, like, tension and competition to make it more reality TV show-esque for their cameras. And they were doing the super sexist thing dudes do, which is asking the dudes how they feel about the fact that there are girls on the other team, and asking the girls how their girliness helps them, instead of asking them questions like, hey, how do you think you'll do, human being?
Yeah.
You know, totally objectifying and dehumanizing these people
to make a buck. I read a giant blog on the guy who was asked to look over the legal document for it, the contract. And he's mentioning about all the clauses in the contract and everything else. He told everybody, yeah, don't sign. This is ridiculous. Went back, and it went back and forth a couple times. Some people agreed to lesser forms of retardation. But in the end, it was very much a very hostile contract right from the get-go.
I shouldn't be surprised. If you look at the way gaming's evolved compared to movies, movies developed a culture and a kind of a culture of proper validity of it as an art form. Reviewers might be fucked up in the head when it comes to film reviewers, and I might disagree with them, but I don't think too many film reviewers are being paid off by the very films they seek to review. I don't think too many film reviewers are into also providing you news about the film. They're just trying to critique the final product. If you look at gaming, it hasn't evolved like that. Game developers give their news to gaming websites all the time because gaming websites need this to live. And gaming reviewers also present news on these titles. And there's a big conflict of interest there. So, like, we have game reviewers who can't be trusted critiquing these products, and an overall culture in gaming where, what's the sentiment I'm looking to say here? Where gaming has just been, it's been like dolled up, candied up, corporated up because we've allowed it to happen. We haven't established, we haven't firmly driven into the minds and hearts of the populace that gaming is an art form. So they treat it like it's reality TV. And reality TV is no art form, it's just trash.
Yeah, can't argue there. Speaking of trash, Smash Brothers.
Yeah, so the latest Smash Nintendo Direct came out with some news, both good and indifferent, well, good and kind of bleh, about the new Smash. For Glory Mode, all Final Destination and no items, with every stage, almost every stage, having a Final Destination skin, which is really cool. It makes it like any other fighting game where all the stage properties are the same, but each stage is kind of its own visual and audio entity. Cool. I actually think that's a really good idea. The other mode is for fun, where items are allowed and you pick the stage and whatnot, and that's for funsies and whatnot. Fine. Also cool. They want to have better matchmaking, but have talked about punishing players who engage in unfair behaviors, like repeatedly targeting the same player and whatnot.
Which is kind of the point of Smash.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like when people try to punish winning, even in the for fun environment, because fuck you. Your game says allows me to do this. If you want to punish me for picking on the same guy, put some mechanic in the game that reduces my damage if I don't spread it out amongst multiple people, if you really want to do that. Don't try to meta punish me by saying you behaved badly, like, you know, like Blizzard does with its MMOs, where they punish you for doing things in games because they're exploits. Some other news, they announced Greninja as a playable character, which makes me happy because Greninja is awesome. Charizard is back and seemingly separated from the Pokemon trainer. Showed off some new items. The big news is that the 3DS version is going to be out this summer, but the Wii U version is only going to be out in the winter.
I think that's actually a mistake.
You told me that earlier, and I didn't ask for you to elaborate on that. But I am now. Elaborate on that.
Well, ultimately, Nintendo really needs the traffic to the Wii U. They really need games that make people want to buy/own a Wii U. By releasing the 3DS version first, they're really not pushing that traffic towards the Wii U. It's still, Nintendo almost seems to have a dual personality when it comes to their systems. The 3DS is a success, so they want the traffic going there, but yet, please buy our Wii U because it's so good.
I think the mentality in Smash is that they think, we'll see how this goes, that since the stages are going to be different, that'll be enough to entice people to play. And there is certainly something to be said for us all crowding around the TV and playing Smash Brothers instead of us all each having a copy of the game and a 3DS.
Yeah.
So maybe they're banking on that. But I do think Nintendo's out of touch, but it's not surprising that they're out of touch in anything because they've been out of touch for a while. They don't check out their competitors' online systems. They They
don't care. It's not that they don't. They just don't care.
They've stuck to their guns, and the Wii, since the Wii was so super flukily successful, they have money to continue sticking to their guns where they should have failed a long time ago, really. So, you're right, it's probably a mistake to wait so long for the Wii U version. Still probably going to buy the 3DS version, because, hey, it'll be out soonish, and I have a 3DS, so... we'll see. Smash looks interesting, even though I hated Brawl with a passion. At least tripping's gone, and at least there's being some concessions being made to acknowledge that, hey, sometimes people play games for betterment, which is what games are all about. If you're playing games to just look at flashy colors, I don't know, go buy a lamp and look at a lamp for a while. Like, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, I don't care in the least about Smash.
That is wrong, and you know it. You mildly care about a game series you have been in love with in the past.
Brawl kind of killed it for me.
Oh, sure, and it should. But Tripping's gone.
Don't care.
Marth is back, and I know you're all gay for Marth, and he's handsomer than ever, so... The tip does the most damage. The tip doesn't of his penis... Only...
I can't use that to go into...
No, I can. What's the next topic?
Transistor and Child of Light.
No, the next topic's Wildstar. Speaking of the tip of Marth's penis leading into Wildstar, let's talk about Wildstar for a little bit.
Do you even know much about it?
I gave you that key, and then it turned out that it was only for a weekend. So I don't know anything about it at all, because I haven't had a chance to play yet.
Okay, well, I've actually had the chance to now.
Yeah?
And...
Uh-huh.
I bought it.
Word up?
Ultimately, it is still... It's...
Uh-huh.
Graphically, it's a little bit more cartoonish than... It's an upgrade to WoW graphics, absolutely. An
upgrade from WoW graphics, let's be grammatically correct here.
Fair enough.
Uh-huh.
It plays very nice. It's more of a... Instead of pushing a button and then waiting for your character to do an attack, it's very much live right there. You press the button, it does it, but you're still moving around doing stuff. You can dodge enemies' attacks.
Compare it to one MMO in a battle system sense.
It's kind of a hybrid between Guild Wars and WoW.
Okay.
The dialogue, it was quite well done for the stuff that I played. I only played about maybe 5 hours. Got to around level 8 or 9. But you're able to choose right at the beginning of the game whether you're more interested in exploration, battle, or...
Did you make a sexy bunny girl?
Yes.
Good guess, me. Was she actually really hot? Did she have camel toe?
I wasn't looking.
Can you put points into camel toe?
No.
How do you know that if you weren't looking? Strike 3, Dave.
Anyway. No, the game plays very well. It looks very nice. They're definitely going with a very structured but open sort of system in that you're able to choose kind of where your extra quests are going to come from. Like for battle, it would have you going to this one item and having like waves of enemies come at you.
Okay.
Whereas I could help that person with that and still get experience and everything else and items for helping them with it, much like Guild Wars.
Sure.
But mine was to go and set up some distress beacon up in an area, more of a discovery exploration sort of thing.
Let's step back to the whole sexy bunny girl part for a second.
Oh, God.
So can you change her hip width?
I think so.
Breast size?
No.
Ear length?
No, but ear type.
Can you make her legs as bare as you want?
I wasn't trying.
You know you're a professional podcaster. You're supposed to try these things.
I wasn't going for extra pervert points.
How creamy can you make her skin?
Moving on. Cool kind of gameplay going there. You can actually customize your character's stats in a sort of like a sphere grid sort of system.
Yeah, yeah. Horrible, but yeah.
I say sphere grid, but it's more of a radial system where you can put different things you earn to, say, up your attack here, your defense here, PvP there.
So the sphere grid.
But without having to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it's more of a tier 1, tier 2.
Okay, okay, okay. I think I get what you're saying. So it's more like a...
I can't
remember. Warhammer?
I guess.
It kind of sounds Warhammer-esque.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
You know what I remember about Warhammer? The sexy women you could make. And on that topic, I have a few more questions about the bunny girl. Now, can you customize how much ass cleavage you show?
No.
Not buying it.
Good. After playing the weekend beta, I dropped the money on it, and I'll be able to play now in the different betas up into launch in, I believe, June.
Can you get a spaceship?
Don't believe so, but I do believe you do have your own... You actually build your own house.
When you're in your house, can you strip your character naked?
Probably not.
Can you then take videos of your naked character and send them to my personal FTP?
No. No, you cannot.
Fuck!
There are games you can do stuff like that, but we're not going
to
mention it.
What the hell am I going to jerk off to now?
Oh, God.
This Wildstar disappoints me more with every moment you talk about it.
Let's move on to Child of Light.
Speaking of children.
Oh. Really?
Well, you know, you did kind of set me up for that. No, Child of Light looks pretty cool. So next topic on the list.
Transistor.
Transistor. Also looks nice. Well, I think that's it for our list. Well, okay, let's actually talk about Child of Light and Transistor for a minute here.
Well, Child of Light seems to be a very much turn-based RPG, which is making a comeback thanks to Bravely Default.
Sure, Bravely Default, making a comeback in the genre.
I'll talk briefly about Bravely Default. I've now made it to the second half of the game.
Did you almost say talk bravely about Briefly Default?
No.
Because that would be hilarious.
My opinion of Bravely Default has been greatly affected by the second half of the game.
I heard that there is something that happens, something that has been described to me as Triforce Hunt-esque, that kind of sours the game for a lot of people. But I have yet to load it up and play it, so...
No, not even in... No.
What happened? Spoil it.
Well, it's not even really a spoiler. You get caught in kind of a Chrono Trigger-esque time loop.
Oh, spoiler warning, people. Continue.
And you end up going through the same... Well, it's kind of optional, but you go through the exact same events multiple times over multiple sessions.
Okay, okay.
And the first time, it was kind of cool. And then it just gets tiresome.
How many times do you have to repeat this loop?
I'm on number 3.
Okay. Now, there have been games that have done the time loop thing well, like Astro Boy Omega Factor.
Yes.
But you only have to time loop the thing. Well, I was going to say twice, but you have to occasionally go back anyway, so.
Yeah, but that was different. In this way, it turns a game that was fun into something very tedious. Just for a little bit of dialogue change to the same battles. Because basically what it turns into is you basically turn random battles off, walk up to where that boss was again, and fight them with different dialogue.
Now, you're time looping this in order to solve what I imagine is the narrative's central problem, right? The central conflict. Obviously, something is fucking up with the timeline And you need to repeatedly
I'm still trying to keep to minimum spoilers, but okay. Something like that.
Okay.
It's not by choice. It's just, when it happens the first time, you're like, okay, this is kind of cool.
Okay.
The second time, you're like, oh God, no. The third time, you're like, are you fucking kidding me? I mean, the bosses do get harder and do a little bit of different things, but you're still like, eh? Ultimately, it's almost like Square ran out of time. And
isn't that always the case?
Okay. The last third of every Squaresoft game I can think of.
It's been horribly rushed.
Has felt horribly rushed.
If anybody.
With a couple of exceptions.
If anybody in Square Japan is listening to this, for the love of God, take your time on 15. For the love of God, just take your time. Continue.
Because, yeah, it feels rushed. It feels like they were like, well, we have no idea how to continue this, so let's just badly Chrono Trigger this up.
Hmm. That's funny, because Chrono Trigger badly Chrono Triggered things up near the end anyway.
So, yeah, it definitely hurt my opinion of the game, but I almost have to take into consideration the first half, which was really solid, and the second half, which has kind of gone to shit.
Sure. Fair enough.
I'm hoping Child of Light doesn't do that, being from Ubisoft, who also has a tradition of rushing the last part of the game and fucking things up.
So would you rather have a game be rushed in its final half, or would you rather have Konami just release something like Ground Zeroes?
Oh, fuck you.
Dilemma time! New segment on the show, no. Dilemma time.
No.
Would you rather drink a milk carton full of rats or have a rat shoot milk cartons at you? Is that what I was going to say?
You're starting to look a lot more like the Shitlord.
Oh, speaking of Shitlords, holy shit. Well, we did it last time. And I don't have theme music yet, but Peter Molyneux's Shitlord Saga, Book 2, the one time he'll say something useful. So Peter Molyneux has done two useful things in his entire life. Just two. One, he made Populous. Two, he shat on the Kinect. Let's talk about that recent one, because it's the most recent chapter in the saga that is Peter Molyneux, Shitlord.
Well, I don't need to do the direct quote, but he basically says that a Kinectless Xbox One is an inevitability.
Which it should be. And
for the first time when he's done one of those widespread, overarching soapbox comments, he's right.
Yeah, for the first time. And he's right. Fuck the Kinect. Good on you, Peter Molyneux. A broken clock is right twice a day, and you have been right twice in your life. Look forward to the next Shitlord Saga when he firmly cuts his own foot off and just chows the fuck down on it like it was a fine vagina.
This has been Dave.
Whoa, are we done?
We're done? With that one, we're done.
Is it because of the vagina?
This has been Dave.
No, we have other topics.
No, we don't.
We do. What about Kickstarter risks and rewards?
Those are throw-ins. Next time.
Well, no, let's throw it in right now. So here's the risk about Kickstarter. You might not see your money ever again, like Super Action Squad. And here's the reward about Kickstarter. When you do... And Carlos.
Two Fat Guys Talk Games, episode 46.
Episode 46, Jizz in the Live Stream has finished jizzing. You know what? I'm going to call it that, right?
Asshole.
So, if you've liked what you heard, you want to leave us some feedback, you want to give us some criticism, whatever, our podcast site is tfgtg.blogspot.com, where you can also find the feed link and our YouTube channel.
You can also find us on Twitter at tfgtg. Yeah. There's no way to continue that. So,
there's no way to continue that sentence.
please leave us some feedback. We accept good and bad. We will usually respond, seeing as we have such a small group audience.
We do have thousands of millions of followers, so we might not respond to you right away.
Sure, let's go with that.